Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight on Mages, Sages, and Seers, I'm proud to bring you Joanne Gajewski with Joyful Empowerment. Her guest is the much-fabled and storied Reverend Alexander Cabot. Greetings and welcome to your show, Joanne. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great, and I'm looking forward to your show tonight. If you need me, just holler.
Yes, I will. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Joyful Empowerment. My name is Joanne Gajewski, and tonight I am so honored and thrilled to have the Reverend Alexander Cabot on here. He is a good friend and just an amazing person and one of the people that I think embodies joyful empowerment. Reverend Alexander, for people that don't know you, why don't you tell them a little bit about yourself?
Well, greetings and salutations for everyone. And I am a Reverend High Priest for the Cabot Ken Hermetic Temple in Salem, Massachusetts. And I'm also an elder here in New York City, where I reside. I've been with the Fellowship of the Craft for, I would say, over 30 years now, or close to 40. It has been something that innate in me, and I keep on doing it for the betterment of our community. And I'm proud to be part of that community of like-minded individuals, where female divinity is the highlight.
And we are lucky to have someone like you in the community that brings us so much honor and respect. And you're an amazing teacher. I've watched a lot of your classes, and you're very informed. And if I was to say to you, Reverend Alexander, what joyful empowerment mean to you, what would be your answer?
Joyful empowerment will be the inner workings of oneself to find happiness within oneself, not outside. It's happiness is not all that is about relationships, successes, money. It's about inner joy within yourself, happy to be within your own skin. That's, to me, is joy and empowerment, because then you are able to go for all the other positives in life.
I love that. I love that definition. Now, what would you say for you has brought you joyful empowerment in your life? Like, how did you go from Alexander to Reverend Alexander Cabot? Like, I'm sure that played a big role in your life,
well,
to finding your empowerment.
Yes, it took me dedication, perseverance, for me to go back to honor my Celtic heritage. And what a better person than the mother, the Reverend Mother herself, Laurie,
yeah,
Cabot. And being under her tutelage for so many years, since 2009 till,
wow,
I was ordained and initiated in 2014. So I was,
wow,
I was in the didactics of the Cabot tradition within the first, second, and obviously third, and it went even on further because there were clergy classes. She wanted us to,
mm-hmm,
be prepared for the service in the community,
mm-hmm,
with all the rites of passages. She thought that it would be important for us. So it was a 6-month course where we were immersed within clergy didactics and all the rites of passages. So it was a wonderful course that I took with her for 6 months as well, after third. And then, of course, petitioning,
yeah,
to become ordained and initiated. So she is an amazing woman. I always admired her for so many years. And the first time I ever saw her was I was a child going to high school, and 1981, Leonard Nimoy, In Search Of.
Yep.
And I saw the program, and I couldn't believe it that there were other witches out there, just like Sybil Leek, just like Lady Rhea, and the Magical Child in New York. They were old stopping grounds for me.
Yeah.
So this is the involvement that I had first with the occult sciences.
Yeah. Well, back then, too, we had to chase it because – you know, I know for me, it was my first experience was we all had that Buckland's Magic Blue Book there. And then I knew, and then I read Laurie Cabot's The Power of the Witch. And
that really
resonated with me. Like, I understood what she was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, I was like, wow. And I chased it. You know, I went to Salem. I went to all these different places, you know, because back then, like you said, you had to do the legwork, you know. I have not.
Absolutely. That's what I was accustomed to.
Anything, but, you know.
That's exactly right.
But
that's what I've been accustomed to, with the perseverance and the dedication. And so I was able to go into the Fellowship of the Craft once again, becoming again a high priest. And also being ordained and being a reverend within the ministry. So this is something that I take dear, and obviously it's a service for the community.
Yeah. And it's a life-changing experience from people that you know, the many Cabot tradition people that I talk to, they're all amazingly powerful, magical people. And they just have, you have a magic about you that just, you know, people want that, you know, it's like, I want that confidence. I want to learn, you know, it makes you want to come to that, you know, and to me, you know, that's where I get my joyful empowerment from. When I listen to people like you, or I'm lucky enough to listen to Lori when she comes on, or, you know, or Jacques Civitrice, or any one of the people that have followed her, I find them very empowering.
Yeah,
very
empowering.
If I were to pick a tradition, that would probably be the one I would pick.
It's America's own tradition. It's you know, we've been always immersed with the BTWs, the British Traditional Witchcraft. So this is the first time that there is a recognized tradition from America, such as the Cabot tradition, and it has its history and its merit. So this is something that I wanted to do for myself, and I did so. I went back and I did the legwork, like you said, and the tutor under her tutelage to become who I am today, and even an ambassador for the tradition as I was. Or I have been for Brazil. So my connection with Brazil stems from my own profession in aesthetic surgery. So this is how I was able to go back and bring the ideology and the tradition and network and become familiar with their community. And I'm part of that, and I'm happy to say that my book will be translated in Portuguese this year. So, Touched by the Goddess, Memoirs of a High Priest, will be in Portuguese and available for every Portuguese-speaking individual.
That's awesome to be able to spread that message, because I'm sure that this was a life-changing experience for you, because like you said, when you take a course like this, that a direction in your life like that, you have to do so much inner work.
You have
to be in alignment, mind, body, spirit. You have to be in alignment, you know.
Correct. It's something it's innate in oneself, and it empowers you because you have that passion, you have that desire, eagerness to learn more, because there is mysteries to be solved. And so that's what's important.
Yeah. And you know, having that support of those people when you're going through something like that,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's amazing, you know?
Yes. And one of the things, yes, you could be solitary. And it's
yeah.
safe ground, let's say, because there's nay and yay,
mm-hmm.
you know, within the community, as you know. So you
yes.
don't concentrate on that. You will always find people that will be against you from whatever reason. It could be jealousy.
Yeah.
It could be insecurities. But you wish them the very best, and you have to then do for yourself and move on forward and progress and evolve. This is my own perspective on you know, on the tradition and myself as a minister,
yeah.
and what I have to deliver in the future as well. So
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of surprises coming aboard because I'm in the verge of doing a second edition for my book. I have a very well-known publisher that is interested in. They've been soliciting me for about over a year now, so I'm happy to say that a second edition will be magnified. It would create a even better book that I could
yeah.
have out for my memoirs. So that's coming up.
Oh, that would be amazing. That would be amazing. Now,
so I have that.
Do you teach at all, or like if someone
tradition? Yeah, well, the tradition is normally taught by Laurie Cabot. So first,
mm-hmm.
second, and obviously third degrees are taught by Laurie Cabot or one of the high priestesses. I don't have any time for. I have my own profession,
yeah,
which I'm very busy in, and an elderly mother that I take care of. She is my only family, and she is
mm-hmm.
the world to me. So
mm-hmm.
And now a beautiful relationship that I've been in that it has cultivated and blossomed into a lovely relationship, and I'm happy about that as well. So it's a partnership with someone, and he's a wonderful man. So that those three factors are what I'm concentrated on, especially with work.
Now, do you think that you know, all this, you know, your spiritual practice has made you able to find this balance in your life?
Has it helped you
to find that mental, spiritual relationship?
Yeah. How funny that you say that, because I'm in the trenches, you know, commuting into Manhattan to go
yep.
to work. I sometimes, you know, I'm there and I'm writing, and I start writing.
Yes.
What I started recently is called Clergy in the Operating Room. And it's actually my own experience as a clergyman, as a spiritual guide or leader within, you know, within our own pagan studies and faith, how that works for myself, you know, and others in the operating room or within the hospital. So I have 26 years in surgical services and over 30 in nursing. So it's a wonderful way of me to share my own experiences and paranormal activities within the hospital. So those are the new entries I have for for the new second edition.
So, you know, because you're so spiritually attuned, do you see or feel things that, say, a typical, you know, worker in the hospital wouldn't? Like, do you tend to notice more, or like what?
I'm an empath. I've always been an empath. So, but I sometimes it's hard to control, but it's a gift, and also it could be a curse. But
yes, I agree.
It's more of a gift, I would say. And the neutralizing of certain energies. So this is what the Reverend Mother Lori Cabot has taught me throughout the years about neutralizing certain behaviors, energies, and not reacting to them. So usually, you know, we're New Yorkers. We automatically were proactive, and we will react right away.
Yes.
No. She always taught us to not react and to neutralize whatever energies they may be. And
see, that's
and how
why you habits are also put together. you're always so calm and like, you know what I mean? I'm like, oh, I want that kind of calm in my life. Like, why am I? Because I'm from New York and Boston, and you know, I'm Italian. I got a little bit of the tood, and you know, I'm always having to step back, you know.
Now, Gajewski, isn't that Polish?
Yes, that's my husband is Polish and Irish.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I'm a Forcucci. A little fork.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so you know, I'm spicy all the way around, no matter how you look at it. And you know, for me, my education in obviously therapy has helped me, because the 21-year-old Joanne would have been quick to jump. And I noticed, you know, my daughter was like, you know, I had a drunk neighbor upstairs that used to harass me all the time. And my daughter would be like, Mom, you know, why don't you, you know, blah, blah, blah. And my friends would be like, you know, you could kick their butt or whatever. And I'm like, I've learned through my education that people are wounded and they're communicating with you at their level. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Through their pain, through their trauma and other things. And now the woman is one of my best friends. We go out to breakfast all the time. You know, she's met a fantastic guy. And, you know, all I would do is, you know, she'd stand there and yell at me, and I'd just close the door and walk in my apartment, you know. And, I mean, you know, my daughter's like, Mom. And I'm like, you know, she's like, why don't you just tell? I'm like, no. I said, because that is somebody that is not well, you know.
Correct.
And it's not me she's upset with. Something about me is triggering something in her that she needs
and
to address, whatever that may be.
That's the same way about spirituality, because whatever the case may be, I always say that religion or tradition is just a mere interpretation of our own spirituality. And so when you actually you're a spiritual person, individual, you try to neutralize and not react and be more not letting that negative energy enter, because when you anger could flare up, and that's actually an open door for any negative energy or entity itself. And sometimes we need to neutralize that behavior and seek higher justice and reasoning for it.
Yeah.
And you actually get the answers through meditation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do with my clients, I bring that up quite a bit, because I function on the holistic level. You know, I'm a mental health practitioner, and yes, you have to focus on the mind, and you need, you know, therapy is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. However, if your spiritual life, and if you're not, you know, filling your cup spiritually and physically, if you're not in alignment, if you're not working on all those aspects of your life, you're still going to be going on that merry-go-round. You know what I mean? You have to work all the different aspects. If you're going to therapy and you're still hanging around, you know, in the bad side of town and robbing stores, I mean, you're not going to make much progress there, right? I mean, so
no.
You really have to realign your whole life. It's not just, you know, going to therapy and it's going to get better. You know, you need to honor what you put in your body. You need to honor your body. You need to honor your mind. And you definitely
Correct.
Need to honor your spirit, you know.
Yeah, and you embrace your flaws and your virtues because you are human and you are having a spiritual experience. You know, we're all spiritual beings having a human experience here. So this is something
and
that you
big,
need to do.
And I have a big problem with that.
You have to embrace it.
Yeah. See, I criticize myself. I'm my own worst critic, you know.
Yeah.
That's where
I
have to constantly work, you know. I never think
ego,
I'm enough. Like, I constantly
that's a healthy ego would be considered more of a self-esteem. But an ego, an overinflated ego, is actually something that hinders spirituality. And we all know that. And humility is a great asset. Humility reaches emotions of pure emotions. That reaches higher consciousness.
Wow,
that
that's true. It's funny.
You put wonderful intent. Let's say if you're trying to cast something for yourself or for others, or you want to heal someone, putting that own emotions into it, it heightens because it's on a vibrational level. So that's something that people need to understand, how they have to master their own will and intent, which the mind is, you know, very powerful.
It is. It's constant work, you know, and I was talking to my mentor one time because my daughter was going through something, and I said, you know, she had an ex-boyfriend that was problematic, and I'm like, you know, I said, what kind of therapist am I? I want to go and beat up this guy. And my mentor was like, Joanne, you're a therapist is your career. He's like, you're human, you're a mom, you're a daughter, you're a sister, you're a friend. You're a coworker. You're many, many other things other than just a therapist. And, you know, because I do try to hold myself to a higher standard. You know, if I'm saying I'm a therapist and I was beating up the drunk girl, really, what would that have accomplished for me? You know,
as opposed
to just standing there and listening, you know what I mean? And I've done a lot of work on that. I just need to stop criticizing myself, you know, that's my problem.
We become our own critic, and that's something that we have to understand how to balance it, because it encourages you or gives you the thrust, the trajectory to be better, but also having that balance, because everything is within balance. Our organism with homeostasis, everything has a balance in order for it to be healthy. So if we mimic divinity as mind and body, so we have to look for balance, even the universe is about balance within the dark and the light. So that's something that it takes years of work and studying various, and it's great to actually dive into other cultures and other traditions.
Oh, yes.
Within my memoirs, I write about several traditions that I've been within my own native culture, and then of course you know, witchcraft and so, and the occult sciences of masonry. Mm-hmm. So this is something that I wanted to compile, and I was able to masterfully put together my memoirs for people, and I've heard is great feedback from the public with my book, but it's currently unavailable. I have cut my ways with the publisher in England, and now I'm not in a hurry.
I tried to get a copy, and I couldn't, and I was like, "Darn it!"
I might have a copy when I go for Witchfest.
Oh, that would be awesome.
So within my own teachings and availability for the public, I will be up for WitchCon, which is the largest metaphysical symposium online. That's going to be in February, I believe, 18th. And so I think, aren't you presenting?
No.
Oh, okay.
I am not. No. Maybe someday.
Okay. So,
but yeah.
That's another
platform.
But that's
it is. I think Christian
platform.
Did a phenomenal job doing that platform.
Oh, he has. My God, it's, I think, 3 years. 3 or 4 years. I can't keep
track
of it.
Yeah, it started during the pandemic. And,
yeah.
And, talk about, you know, bringing together cultures and traditions and all the different, you know, and it's very powerful. And I love that, you know, because it shows just how diverse we are within our own magical community, it shines a light on who we are as witches, as people, what we do for our communities, what we do for people, what our cultural heritage, like you said, contributes to our lives, because my grandmother was the first person to teach me divination, and how to remove the evil eye and all these different things, when Christian and Brian just really put together a beautiful, beautiful thing, I think, that a way to unite people, and I think that's awesome. Just as Witches Fest does the same thing,
So that's another opportunity for me to be part of the community and to present. That would be at Witch Fest USA in New York City on Astor Place. So those
that
are the
two. That
was
a lot of fun. It was a beautiful time.
Oh, it is. It is. And I'm looking
even
forward.
Even though it was hot
because...
as blazes that day, it felt like it was 1,000 degrees in the city. That was nuts. But it was a lot of fun.
You know, I look forward to it because my dear friend from Connecticut, Ashley Cruz, comes, and we get together for this event. So it's a wonderful moment that we share, sort of like a tradition.
Yes,
that we come together and do it.
Traditions are important, but like you said, it's about balance and alignment in our life. And if you don't balance out if one area is out of balance, it's going to affect the whole apple cart. You know what I mean?
Correct.
You move that one apple in the wrong spot, and the whole thing comes tumbling down. And when I work with clients, I try to add meditation, spirituality, whatever form of prayer that they, look at. And today in one of my groups, it's funny, you mentioned humility. We were talking about the seven sacred laws in the Native American culture, and humility is one of the top ones. And we were talking about how you need to go through life with gratitude and humility. And I love how he says we have to be all heart all the time. We have to walk in beauty and be all heart all the time when we walk through the world, because we have to.
When you do that, you're blessing yourself.
Yes.
You are honoring yourself and you're blessing yourself. And a lot of people think that humility is a weakness, and it's not. humility is actually stronger.
Well, it's like they say, a lion doesn't need to announce it's a lion. You just know, you know.
Correct.
And, you know, and he's humble about it. He's just walking about his day. He doesn't go around roaring saying, I'm a lion. Actually, they're pretty lazy. They lay around a lot from what I watch on the the Nature Network, you know. And but that's like one of the apex predators right there. You know what I mean? And I don't know. Life is just these days trying to find joy is hard, which is why I wanted to do this show.
The joy and empowerment, I think that's very needed in today's community.
Yeah.
Where there's a lot, we're misguided, especially our new generations, the youth are misguided today. And
sensory overload.
There's no, and what I've, you know, being an elder at this point in my life, I could see that the core values are missing. And there's the logic that has always been rational has been twisted. And so we now live in a society where anything goes. There's no filter, there's no decorum, no core values, and I miss that. I'm no social etiquette, so I miss that. And I'm not. No, I'm a liberal, but a conservative liberal. I believe in balance. I believe that you have to have some sort of decorum and moral ethics in order to live among humanity and have that balance of not be judgmental, to be kind, to accept. But also I see that the new world is no filter, no core values.
No.
And it's sad.
Nope. It is.
And it's sad.
I work with a lot
society.
Of at-risk youth. I work with a lot of at-risk youth, and they're not taught things that we were taught. And one of the biggest things they tell me is, like, thank you for teaching me this. No one's ever told me this. No one's ever explained
really?
This to me. And this is what I hear all the time. It's one of the biggest things I hear with the kids that I work with. Nobody ever explained this to me. Nobody told me this. Nobody sat down.
That is so sad.
You know, we have a huge epidemic with opiates, and these kids are neglected. You know, we have a generation of kids that really are suffering through neglect. And it's sad because their parents are out of it. And, you know, that's
so
where
it's,
I try.
It's,
you know, that's where I do my volunteer work.
They're misguided. And I hope that I hope that we could concentrate more on America and the youth.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as humanity grows, because one day I won't be here, and the future are our kids.
Yeah,
and that's what's important.
And learning how to respect the art of the debate and respecting everybody's point of view. Everybody's entitled to their own point of view.
Correct. Everybody's
entitled,
but not. To have that respect for others, not infringing on others, not being judgmental, that's what's important in today's world.
I don't know. When I met you, my question was, you know, wasn't what was your political view or anything. You know, that wasn't the criteria of my friendship with you. It was like, you know, I loved what you had to say, and I was like, hi, I'm so, you know. That's how I go by if you're a good person. This whole, everybody's just at each other's throats. And, you know, when I came up with this last year, the Joyful Empowerment thing, I had worked on a done a workshop with Yesha on New Year's, and I came up with this statement for the year, and it was joyful empowerment, where we picked the word for the new year, which I picked was empowerment. And actually, this is my one-year anniversary for joyful empowerment.
Oh, congratulations.
So happy one-year anniversary. Yeah, you're my one-year anniversary guest, which is awesome. And I picked the word empowerment. And, you know, she brought up a good point was, okay, now empowerment can be good. She's like, but what's the other side of empowerment? Well, I don't want to empower bad health. I don't want to empower negativity, you know, all these different things. She's like, okay, so what's another word to help bring in what kind of empowerment you want? And I came up with joyful. And then Hercules had asked me to do this, you know, had offered me to do this podcast. And he was like, you know, have you thought of a name? And joyful empowerment, because, you know, I didn't want to do another witchy show. I wanted to incorporate a little bit of what I do, you know, mental health wise. And I felt that the world needs a little bit more joy, because through empowering each other, we empower ourselves, you know.
Correct.
And I want people to feel good, and I want people to see that, you know, everybody goes through tough times. I'm sure you have, just as I have, and the different ways that people empower themselves to get through it, you know. And that's what I wanted to highlight.
That's another thing that the new generation or the youth of today need coping mechanisms.
Mm-hmm.
And it lacks the coping mechanisms that one, you know, we suck it up and we did the work no matter what. We were not, had this idea of entitlement. We just did the work and you know, lo and behold, we came out, better or worse,
mm-hmm.
but we learn from it. So it's the coping.
So
it's the coping mechanisms today. Yes, is the coping mechanisms that that we need to teach. Like I said, the youth is misguided, and I hope that I have taken upon myself to teach the youth of today and guide them, and especially the LGBT community. And because I'm a gay minister myself, so I am proud to say that I do take a lot of youthful, you know, young people that mm-hmm. are seeking that guidance, and they have come, and I've been able to counsel them, and it's been
That's
gratifying.
Awesome.
It's rewarding for me to see
it
that
is.
they want my help.
Is the best thing.
Yeah.
That's where I do my volunteer work. I will never turn down a kid that needs someone to talk to.
Correct.
And it's a safe space, and you know, that is my passion is children. You know, my undergrad is education. My master's is you know, mental health, trauma, PTSD, and all that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, helping these kids find healthier coping strategies and have somebody to validate them and listen. You know, a lot of it is validation and just listening. Nobody listens. That's the one thing they tell me.
No.
Nobody listens. And, you know, so to me, that's how I like to give back. And it's my own little thing that I do, because it makes me happy to see the kids happy. And like you said, we had to chase it.
We're distracted
by
technology today.
Yeah. Well,
everything's
about
social media
and
technology today. So.
Yeah. Kids would rather do things virtually than actually.
Correct.
You know,
communicate with each other. It's just by a little box and words, and not be able to call and have a conversation with someone.
And let me tell you, I hate texting, you know, and these kids are 900 miles an hour with the texting, and I'm still on my first word. And I'm like, you know, I could have called you and the conversation would be over and done by now.
Correct. Yeah. I want to touch base with you. I want to have that moment of to show you how much I care.
Yeah.
Rather than just texting. To me, texting is convenience of just relying on a quick message.
Well, and just having this phone everywhere, to me, there's still, I don't use the phone when I drive, and I don't use the phone when I'm in the bathroom. I'm like, I need some, privacy and focus. I need to focus on the road when I'm driving. And when I'm in the bathroom, I just want my privacy. I don't want to be talking to anybody, or scrolling on social media or whatever, or watching a video. That's just me. But, I'm just so happy that you came on tonight to share your message, for people, because I find you very empowering, and I'm so blessed to have you in my life. I'm very happy.
Well, thank
that,
you. Likewise.
We've gotten to cultivate our friendship, and I love that. And I'm honored that you said yes to me at the last minute. I was like,
it just worked out because I am not feeling 100% great, but I have a really bad cold and maybe a slight fever, but I gave you my word, and I definitely I've done. Hercules is an amazing man, and he's been doing this for a long time. These blog talk radio shows that he does. I did one with Michael Waterman not too long ago. It was great to be with Michael because he's an old pal of mine from the days of the Magical Child. So it was Hercules is an amazing man, and I'm glad to be back.
He says he saw something in me that needed to be cultivated, and
I'm
just Joanne, and he... I was his moderator for when I was working the online portions of Witches Fest, and he took a chance on me, and I'm so grateful because I'd never done this before. I'm like, me, really? I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, you're doing it with me.
I know.
And I've been doing this since 2014 when I decided to be in the public eye. And I remember the first time I was ever interviewed was for Green Egg. It was Green Egg magazine or blog talk radio as well. And I've heard of Green Egg because of Oberon Zell and, from the 60s. And it's a periodical that's been around for the pagan community. So I was happy to do so. And that was my first experience going on these kind of platforms. And obviously with This Old Witch, which we ran it for 2 or 3 years now.
That's awesome. That is
so
awesome.
Star
really pushed me on, she pushed me to push my boundaries, to go outside the box and go beyond, to step outside the box and push me to do better. She was really good with that,
You actually interviewed me for Witchfest.
Yep. She got me started with the spotlight interviews she was always, making me just go that extra step, which, she's awesome at. And I met so many fabulous people and made many wonderful connections. And, it's very cool. I wouldn't have met you in person.
That's right. That's right. I'm
such a fan of Alexander Cabot because I had seen you on the first Witches Fest that she did online. You taught a class, and I was like, wow, this guy is fabulous. And I'm like, I just love the way he teaches. And I soaked up that class, And I loved it. And I'm like, oh, I'm such a big fan.
You.
And then I got to meet you, and I was like, oh.
I'm looking forward to, that's so kind of you. I'm looking forward to psychic gifts for WitchCon because I'm going to share bits from my new entries of the second edition of my book. So I'm looking forward to sharing that with the viewers for WitchCon.
Yeah,
That's going to be February 18th. So yeah, that one.
Yes,
and I just recently got invited for an event in October. I'm planning to do that with my good friend James Jacob Peary, who's also Gypsy.
Oh.
He's doing
yes.
an event in the Poconos in Pennsylvania. So he for the month of Samhain, the month of October. So we're I'll be a guest speaker there. And
awesome.
I love Pennsylvania. I love the Poconos in Pennsylvania. It's very charming area.
Yeah. I'm in the White Mountains, but the Poconos are very beautiful as well. I'm in the White Mountains of New Hampshire. I'm like 2 hours away from Canada. I'm like,
oh, wow. Okay.
It's very beautiful up here. You know, you and Alex are going to have to come up here and come to North Conway and visit sometime.
Oh, definitely.
But
that sounds beautiful.
It come in the summer, though. Unless you guys are skiers, I'm not. You definitely want to come in the summer, you know.
No, I've never skied. I've never skied, nor do I intend to ski at this age. But
no, thank you.
But I love the snow. I love the snow. I love. I know there's friends of mine in Maine that they want me to renew their vows. They want me to be the their own high priest to renew their vows. They live in Maine. And they've been trying to get me up there. It starts with an S. I forgot. It's
Sebago.
No. Not Sebago. Stamford or I forgot. But anyway, they live in a mountainous, woody area surrounded by animals and snow. That's all I know.
So you're probably close to me, so we probably can meet up at some point.
Okay. You might.
We can go
maybe,
look at a lighthouse.
Oh, I love lighthouses. I love
lighthouses. There's so many on the coast. Yeah.
But they've been wanting me to come, and I told them maybe for the springtime I'll come with Alex and we could do a renewal of vows. And they're excited
to
have
cool.
me.
Oh, so cool.
So maybe
who
you could
wouldn't
come.
Be? I would. Oh my God! Yeah, we can go do.
I haven't done that in a while. Yeah, no, I've done weddings.
Do some touristy stuff.
I've done some hand fastings and I've done especially in England. That was the pinnacle when I was in England at the pagan gathering. I did a hand fasting. And also renewal vows, and those are my favorites. I love the union and love and gathering, and hand fastings are so beautiful. I'm very passionate about it.
I actually just got my thing through the Universalist Church to start mm-hmm. doing that as well. One of the kids that I worked with. She ended up getting married, and she wants to do a hand fasting. You know, she did the traditional way, and she wants to do a hand fasting this summer, and she wanted me to officiate. So I was like, so I took the steps to do that.
This August, I was part of a hand fasting of my dear friends Leslie and Jeff. They hold the chapter, the Canadian chapter, Habit. Tradition and their own Canadian chapter that they have in Canada. So Alex and I went there because I was invited to be part of their hand fasting, this lovely couple, Canadian couple that I've known And that was a wonderful experience to be in Canada and to share my magic and my love with my Cabot brothers and sisters.
Now, how far does the Cabot tradition go internationally? Does it go into Europe or anywhere? Or
it does. There are people that are in South America that are first and second or first, and there are people in England, I believe that they are, and in other countries, there are people that are, have taken first and second degrees. Yeah.
Wow. What a legacy to leave behind, you know?
Oh, of course. Well, that's the Reverend Mother Laurie Cabot has always professed that it's about leaving behind the right message. And she has that. She's been that lighthouse, let's say.
Yeah.
And within the paradigm of witchcraft, this is something that she's leaving for all of us. And she's a powerhouse. She's a powerhouse. Like when I was growing up, obviously my parents were such great role models, and I fashioned myself after them in the occult sciences, but also great pioneers such as Sybil Leek, Raymond Buckland, obviously within the Gardnerian tradition. So these were certain people. Yeah, you know what? I never had the blue book. No, I never had the blue book. I always had Gardners and Sybil Leeks. So, and then of course Laurie Cabot with Power of the Witch, and that's culminated my studies, my first studies, but. I was involved in spiritualism, so that's where the whole alpha and meditative exercise came to play. We never even called it alpha. We just called it going into deep trance, viewing with your third eye, with your remote viewing. So this is something that I was taught at a very early age. So in my book, I chronologically go through each and every experience of tradition and religion.
But I remember when she did the Alpha, even on WitchCon that first year, and let me tell you, that's a powerful, powerful thing. And I always, because, you know, with WitchCon, you can save the recordings forever, which is wonderful of Christian to do that for everyone. And I often go back and I just go into that alpha meditation and do the countdown.
Oh, you could even have her. One of the most loveliest things, she always had these CDs. They first started out as cassettes. Then she had these CDs of her meditative exercises, and I believe she has two or three of them out there. So you could go on the official witchshop.net, I believe.
Yeah.
That's her, and you could download those meditative exercises that she narrated.
Oh, wow. That's awesome to know. I did not know that. I'm definitely going to do that because I really found that power. And I like how she does the total clearing of everything. Now, if people want to get a hold of your work or learn more about you or any classes you do, how can they find the Reverend Alexander Cabot?
It's very simple. It's alexandercabot.com.
I know everybody asks.
How simple is that? www.alexandercabot.com. I have my own website, which with my my literary work is there that I published for Lady Rhea, both The Enchanted Candle and The Enchanted Formulary. Obviously, my book, which is currently unavailable at the same at this time. And Rhea, Lady Rhea and I are have been working on a new book, which I will co-author with her.
Awesome.
That book is going to be it's in the works. So that's a little sneak peek at what we're doing.
Awesome. That is so excellent. Now, what message do you have for people listening tonight? What do you have to say for them in their search for joyful empowerment? Some words of wisdom.
I have a copyrighted statement that is in my book, and also I've used it for a long time because this is how I feel that my deliverance of knowledge to the public, be a light unto darkness so you may be the balance of the universe. And that is something that
beautiful.
I hold dear, because you do have to share the light and dark in order to become a better person, to fulfill yourself within and then without. This
awesome.
Is something. This
Thank
is something
so
that
much.
I hope that the youth actually would understand and hopefully absorb for their own empowerment and joyfulness.
Reverend Alexander, I thank you so much for coming here.
You're very welcome.
And
you're very welcome.
And
Joanne.
Hanging.
And my love to Hercules.
And,
thank you very much.
And thank you for your kind words. When your book is ready to be released, let's do a special on it.
We sure will.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool.
I look forward to that.
And thank you for taking the time. Now go get some rest and have some 4-T.
I had my
and,
Theraflu
I love you, Tom.
And my prednisone. And now,
I
and
know,
now
really.
It's time to... That was too unwind.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so
thank
much,
you,
my friend.
You
Love
much.
You tons.
Yes.
Mwah.
Blessings from the heart.
Blessed be.
Blessed be, and thank you both. Speedy recovery from your ailment, and I look forward to speaking with you both soon. And I want to thank my wonderful audience for tuning in tonight.
Yes,
whether you called in or whether you'll be checking us out later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journey, amazing adventures, and a healthy and happy new year. Thanks again.
And joyful empowerment.
Joyful empowerment.